friends, it's us. I am Steph Beagle.
And I am Lauren Abney.
And this is Well Behaved. We believe balance is a bit overplayed and way overrated. We've embraced finding our perfect blend of wellness with a twist of tequila.
This podcast delivers wellness remixed from face-slapping facials to the ABCs of CBD. Living your best life and finding what's right for you is what it's all about. Let's do this.
I am Beegs, stalker of our guest, Dr. Pritzker, today, and a major dabbler in the world of injectables.
Triple major.
To the third power.
Well, I'm Laura, and although I'm a holistic health nut, I have no shame in adding a little toxin into the mix.
I love that, babe. I feel like it's funny that we're whispering, but do you feel good about this?
Feels like we should whisper because I'd say this topic's a little taboo.
I totally agree with you. So I want to start very selfishly by just announcing a lot of, I think this episode was about me coming clean on a lot of things. And I want to start with coming clean on the fact that if I could visit Dr. Pritzker every single day, every single hour, I would. And I will also say, because I'm so self-aware, that she may not feel the exact same way, and I'm okay with that.
No, Beegs, I think you're wrong. I think she loves you wholeheartedly. You just push her.
I push her.
You push her buttons, but you also push her because you ask a ton of questions, so she really has to be on her game. But that's okay, because she's a pro.
I'm just very curious. Don't hate me, right?
Well, because of your love and because of her just empire that she's built in the city, I've recently converted to her as well.
It's about damn time.
Well, I trust her. And I love that she's so honest, and she will be really honest.
What can our friends expect in this episode?
I would say it's the best 101 that you can get on injectables. We talk about Botox. We talk about filler. We talk about the differences, where they go, how much you get, how much it costs, why it works, all the things.
I also might have told the whole world that I get Botox in my forehead. And I might even have a little sprinkle of filler. And you know what? I feel like it was my coming out party and I feel happy about it.
Live your truth.
Living my truth, babe. Should we just get into it?
People need to know.
Can't wait. Friends, we are
so pretty damn pumped.
Pretty damn pumped. Beyond excited to have one of my favorite humans in the world. I don't know if I'm her favorite human, but she's one of mine.
I think she's scared of you.
Dr. Rachel Pritzker in the house. She is an MD, fellowship trained, board certified. I wish I had some of that in
so
front
many
of.
Things.
Dermatologist, who is not only a legend in my eyes, but she's famous across all of our friends in the Chicagoland area and maybe beyond, maybe globally. And she just has an inspiring expertise and knows everything in the world and puts up with me as my dermatologist. So thank you for being here. We are so excited.
Thank you. I'm very excited.
Do you have any clients or patients that ask more questions than Stephanie Beagle?
Stephanie is, to me, an ideal patient, aww, even though she gives herself a tough time because she comes in very well informed, educated about what she wants to talk about. And it's not putting up a fight. It's putting up a good conversation for me. So it breaks up my day nicely. And I learn from her things that I should be knowledgeable of. So it's a two-way street. So I enjoy seeing Stephanie.
I would hug you if you weren't so far away from me.
3.5 feet.
So we start at the beginning with everyone that we have on. And we ask, what does wellness look like for you? So someone in your field, what does wellness like in the more generic sense look like in your life?
So it's such an interesting question because I feel like it is a question that is broad, but it's a question that is difficult right now. What I give advice to patients and what I try to give advice to myself is focusing on what makes you feel that you can put effort into to accomplish some wellness, not having to accomplish or achieve it all, but trying to focus on certain pockets that you know that you can do to keep yourself in a good place.
Makes a ton of sense. There are endless options and solutions out there, but you can't do them all.
Right.
And we even talk about sometimes you'll try almost everything, but unless you stick to something for a little bit, you don't even know if it's right for you.
Right. And I'm sure we'll be talking a lot about that during this
sure
little adventure that we're taking because it is becoming a little overwhelming to people that come to try and seek my advice. And I love dwindling it down for people and trying to develop the relationship to get through it together in a healthy way.
Let's dwindle.
Oh, yeah.
Let's get into injectables. Oh, yeah. Botox and then filler. What are the differences between Botox and filler?
Right. So I think importantly, well, first of all, let's do a definition. So Botox is a brand name. And Botox is first to market by a company by Allergan. It's a botulinum toxin that is derived from a certain bacterial strand. And they have found that it can paralyze muscles in a unique way. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it was almost serendipitously found. It was being used for muscle spasms around the eye. A couple of doctors, including a doctor up in Canada, Dr. Carruthers and Carruthers, they found that it was improving the wrinkles around their eyes at the same time. So then research was done. Allergan manufactured what is now called Botox. So I'll be using the term Botox a lot, but there are different versions of it. So on the market right now in the United States, there's Botox, there's Dysport, there's Xeomin. And there is a new one within the last month or two that launched that's called Juvo. But we can use the word Botox a lot. But
it's like Kleenex.
Exactly.
Right.
So, and it's easy to say, but there are different ones. And we can talk about the differences and things like that. But in general, so what it is, it's a solution that gets injected and not instantaneously, but over a couple of days starts to relax your muscles and therefore take away some of the wrinkles that are caused by muscle action. On the other hand, there's filler. Now, filler also has a lot of different versions of it. The most popular is called hyaluronic acid. Mm-hmm. And brand names that you guys might be familiar with, Juvederm, Restylane, Bellatero, things like that. So these are fillers. So this is actually like a gel substance that gets injected to kind of fill spaces where you used to have some sort of fat or you have collagen loss, you had collagen there to try and restructure things. So they're used extremely differently. And I think it's important to find out where they usually go and what they can help and how they work together.
Sure. So where are most people using Botox?
Right. So, you know, easiest thing on label, Botox is frequently used in between the eyebrows for your 11 lines. Mm-hmm. It's called the glabella.
Not cute term and not cute look.
I know. So the glabellar complex. So I say this funnily because whenever I say fancy words in front of Stephanie when she's visiting me, she always grabs onto them and then reuses them over and over, which is
you should see when I leave your office. I totally use them in like my everyday conversations too, just to sound cool, but continue.
So the glabella with those 11 lines, if you inject Botox into that area, it relaxes those muscles that cause you to scowl or look mean or look aggressive or a lot of other things that people do. And a lot of times people don't want that expression, not just they want to get rid of the lines, but they really don't want to look angry.
I call it my judging face.
Yeah.
I think it's a lot of looking at my computer or my phone, but it looks like I'm just making this kind of angry, judgmental look.
And it's perceived by others. I get a lot of, you know, it's a popular area for men to come into my practice to get injected into that area because they don't want to have a perception in the workplace or at home of being angry or tough, mean, judgmental, things like that. So it's not the goal to take away emotions whenever we inject Botox, but this is certainly one to soften if you want to.
Yes.
And, you know, the real perk is that you start to work away at these lines that are between your eyebrows.
And then what are the lines called that go across your forehead?
So across your forehead, the forehead lines, frontalis lines, things like that. So this is the forehead. The frontalis is the muscle that is right underneath the forehead. And interestingly, it's a very delicate muscle. Mm-hmm. It is a broad, thin muscle that goes across your whole forehead, as opposed to the corrugators, which are in the glabella that we just talked about. These are thicker muscles that really pull down on the eyebrows and everything. This frontalis muscle lifts up and raises your eyebrows. But every time you do that, whether you're acting surprised or if it's sunny out, you're crunching down and you're causing those lines to form on your forehead. But it is a delicate little flower that we have to deal with.
Right, because if you're feeling your forehead, it feels like a bone, but there's actually a muscle that lives underneath there. By getting the injection into the muscle, does it stop you from making that face in the future? So is there any kind of preventative measure to it?
So in general, I think we're kind of venturing into the preventative nature of Botox is the question. And, you know, there are a lot of times, I don't know if your mom or anyone ever told you, like, don't use it. If you don't use it, you'll lose it.
Sure.
You know, I haven't spoken French since the eighth grade. This is kind of the thing where, you know, you don't want to use it because you want to lose it, mm-hmm. right? So the more that you use one of these substances, if you inject it, your muscle is not working to its maximal capacity. It's not crunching down on the skin and creating those lines. Not only is that line filling in over time, but it's not getting memorized. So it's being preventative. There's a lot of other benefits to Botox in the skin. It decreases sweating. It can reduce some of the oiliness of the skin. It's not going to treat your acne or anything like that at this point, but there are a lot of other benefits to injecting, especially the area on the forehead. So preventatively, it can keep your tone and texture even and in a good place as well. So I do a lot of what we call preventative Botox. It's an idea called prejuvenation. It's a delicate idea because you want to make sure that, again, get back to wellness, that people are doing it in the right ways.
Sure.
But again, if you are doing a little sprinkle of Botox across your forehead and in between your eyebrows and maybe a little around your eyes in a nice healthy way, a couple once or twice or three times a year, you're on the path to making sure that those lines don't form and you'll be maintaining a nice cosmetic result earlier. You'll be maintaining your results as opposed to trying to play catch up in your 40s or so.
So with that, I wish I started earlier, right? Like, because I think I started once I had defined lines.
Mm-hmm.
And what I feel like I've heard from you and from others is, you know, you're not deepening the lines, but they're there and they're not. If I stopped using Botox, like they would still be there, right? Those lines don't go away. They don't disappear. So what age should I have started at? I mean, like when you have people come in, is there, I mean, I know there's probably not just an age because everyone has different skin, but are you in that preventative way? Are you saying do it before you even have the lines?
So yes and no. Again, we have to make sure that we are doing a service to the patient and the world and making sure that people aren't coming in too early and starting to do things too early. The same time, you know, at the first hint of a line, you know, it's a good idea to start thinking about it. It's not necessary. I don't believe that somebody like you who's, you know, may or may not be doing
I'm totally doing it.
You can share my
secrets. I'm in a little weird HIPAA world right now where I'm not sure what to say.
This is me, Stephanie Beagle, confirming
that I'm a patient that just likes to talk.
That I love Botox and it's all over my forehead. Continue.
Doing it, I think that preventative doesn't mean preventing it completely. If you, for example, were to wear off, you would have a line. That line would be nowhere close to as deep and as defined as if you hadn't been doing it at any age. Right?
Interesting.
There are some cool things out there in the scientific literature. One of my favorite things to talk about is a twin study. And it was, you know, and don't quote me on the ages of the patients and how many times they had Botox. Don't quote me on, I didn't.
We don't have a fact checker. So really anything you say.
I can provide the reference for you, but it was by Binder and Rivkin. And it was a study where it was a set of twins and one of the twins regularly had a neuromodulator. Neuromodulator is the word that I'm going to use sometimes for Botox and Dysport and Xeomin and Jeuveau. So they had repeatedly had a neuromodulator over the course of 10 years. And the twin sister had not had access to it, had whether or not she had no interest in it, I don't know. But you could see that the last picture in the study was the twin sister who had been doing it regularly for 10 years. This was after it had completely worn off. It wasn't active after the 3 or 4 months it had worn off. She was back to baseline. Her muscles were moving, but her lines were so fine and not etched in the skin. We call them pencil lines. They weren't there compared to the sister who had done a neuromodulator, but infrequently over the 10 years. So the one sister that kept up at not very high doses, I don't believe, versus the one twin sister who had not done it, just at rest without any active particles in her muscles, had prevented aging.
Aligned, not surprised. Because, also a user, when it wears off, there is not at all this 11s that used to be prominent on my face. And I think I don't make that face half as often anymore, so I'm not surprised. I do, that does bring me to the question of, you said 1, 2, 3 times, 3 or 4 months. how often are people typically coming in?
Right. So, you know, the duration of the ones that we have on the market right now usually lasts between 3 or 4 months. And I always tell patients, you know, it's like a bell curve. You get injected, and I know this is a podcast and I'm moving my hands, but I think you get the point. But you get injected and it slopes up slowly and it gets to a point where you feel whatever you want to feel, whether that's
living
frozen or you've talked to your doctor about not being too frozen. And then it kind of hangs out and it gets to a peak and then it starts to dwindle kind of 6-8 weeks in, and then up to about 3 or 4 months where the actual particles are gone and the muscles are moving. Your lines might not go back to completely baseline at that point. Maybe they do. But after repeated injections, they won't go back to where you started with, even when it's not active. Mm-hmm. So if you, you know, wanted to be on top of it and you were absolutely wanting it in your muscles and you weren't moving at every single, you know, moment of the year, you would do it every 3 to 4 months. Realistically, when I talk about preventative neuromodulator, I really like to get people in for a sprinkle about twice a year.
A sprinkle.
I love a sprinkle.
Oh God, I'm totally going to say that now. Yes. So in terms of, so I remember I came into you because I had been to a different derm. Oh my God, I can't even believe I ever went to anyone before you. But I was like, I need Botox, right? And like we said, Botox, Kleenex, like I didn't know really about the other kinds, right? So when you have patients, is it that you prefer a certain brand or is it that you're doing it based off of, I tried Dysport and it didn't freeze me as much, right? And it didn't last as long for me. Very personal thing, right? How do you decide what product to use on different patients?
You know, it's really interesting that obviously individuals come to me and individual skin is different across the board. We do now have 4 products. The 4 products in their absolute essence are the same, meaning the bottom line is the same mechanism of action where they're going to paralyze your muscles to not make those expressions. The way they do that, the same, so the core is the same, but they have certain nuances between them. Those nuances are somewhat important for some patients and somewhat not important for others. So whenever I have the discussion, I say sometimes it can be like a Coke and Pepsi, meaning some people love Coca-Cola and hate Pepsi or love Pepsi and hate Coca-Cola. Mm-hmm. I can't predict if you're going to be one or two of those, you know, that patient that likes one or the other, but they all come as like a powder. You know, they come as a powder on lockdown. You should see the packaging that we receive when we get these. So once you get through this huge packaging, you get to this small little golden vial. It comes as almost like a powder substance, sure, in a way. And we have to reconstitute it, meaning we have to add some volume of water. So a lot of it is in the way that your injector does it. How much of this water, how much hydration, what you're using, and how much diffusion that you would get. So I hate really saying that one product is someone's favorite versus another. I inject a lot of the Dysport. I find that it is very easy in my hand. I know exactly how it's going to act in certain ways. I carry all 4 of the products. We're in a huge cosmetics practice. I do, I don't know how many injections a day. And I have patients that like one or the other. I like them all. Even the new one, Jeuveau, I've been really liking it too. So I kind of find which one works on a patient and then obviously stick with it. But even changing reconstitutions, I had, you know, I changed for somebody in this room. I opened up a new bottle and changed the way that I reconstituted to get the perfect outcome. So
that's,
there's
so
lots
interesting
of nuances.
I didn't know that there was flexibility within the concoction, right? Yeah. So the mixture that you're making, you even can impact that.
Absolutely.
That's
and
wild.
You can use, a lot of people like to use a very dilute version for flow. And some people, a lot of people like to use a very concentrated version because they want to know exactly where it is and that it is not moving somewhere else.
So also the way it's administered. So like I remember I've, you know, had it enough times where the formation of how it's administered differs too. So like, mm-hmm, is there one way that you do it? Like I want to understand a little bit of the,
right,
your
so
magic
I do,
and science.
I do a lot of teaching. I'm a trainer for a lot of the large companies. So I do a lot of training. In particular, at the moment, I do a lot of training with one of the other companies called Galderma, who makes Dysport. And of course, there are on-label ways to do something. And when I do a training, I tell somebody, you put this amount of units with this reconstitution into these 5 little spots on in between your eyebrows. But of course, we know that they're in real life, everybody's moves differently. There's not a map. Your map, even coming to see me over and over again, changes. Mm-hmm. You may come, you know, a little earlier than you did last time and you're not moving. And if I dare put the same amount in the exact same places on you every time, you are going to not look great, right? So not only do you have to find out how somebody's moving, but you have to adapt every time to how you do it. So I'm likely never injecting the same amount in the same place at the same time. So a little differently, you know, it's, so when you have to come back, sometimes you have to come back for a touch-up. I've gotten it perfect. You know, I always get it perfect, but you get it perfect, you know, five times in a row. And then, you know, one time it's not moving exactly the way I want it. Come back and we add a unit or two in, which I always prefer. I'm a very natural, and we'll get into, you know, my aesthetic perspective, but I always find that it is a breathing way of how your skin is living and how you're getting injected.
We've gotten in fights over that before. Like, I want to feel a little
no
bit
fights,
more.
No fights, healthy frozen. Conversations.
Yeah, fair.
You're training people. So who is certified to be an injector, and what is that? You know, there's med spas, there's dermatologists, there's, what are the teeth people?
Dentists.
people?
They do great things with your teeth.
Yeah. That's scientific. Teeth people can do it. That scientific Lauren right there.
So
but, yeah, who can do it?
I would love for you guys to research and get back to me on that too. It is... I'll be the first to say it. It's a little Wild West right now. It feels like it from my perspective. Anything I say is not me being on my high horse of I went to residency in dermatology and I went to fellowship training in cosmetic practice and procedures. But it is, I'm not sure where and who and how you can administer it. I hear horror stories a lot about, you know, bathroom Botox by somebody and I don't know where they get the product and things like that. So if it, anything, there are wonderful injectors who are not MDs, doctors.
Yeah.
Wonderful. I mean, there are PAs, physician's assistants, there are NPs, nurse practitioners. There are a lot of very high qualified injectors out there. But again, there are a lot of people that are on, I don't want to say bandwagon, but are administering Botox or neuromodulators that I'm not quite sure where they've gotten their training from.
Which is pretty scary.
Yeah, slightly frightening. I would also say it's likely a scenario where you get what you pay for.
I think so.
To be safe.
I think so. And I think that there is leeway in that too. Obviously, you know, I come from a fancy dermatology practice downtown
fancy.
Chicago.
Yeah, it's very, very pretty.
Our rates are definitely not low comparatively to other things. There are Groupon deals on things like Botox and Dysport and things like that. I don't think that it is necessarily that you're going to get a bad job if you go with something cheaper. But I do think that there is a, and as we will talk about, an art and science to it. And the most important thing, especially when talking about fillers, because there are some real consequences with fillers when you inject them. And it's not that I'm above potentially having a side effect or having a complication with anything that I inject. But I really think that it's having the knowledge and the wherewithal in the community to be able to deal with potential side effects or complications. And I think that that really is important when selecting who you are going to go along the ride with.
Because everyone thinks of the good experiences, which definitely happen, but sometimes there are side effects.
Absolutely.
Right?
It's not the fun thing to talk about. But I think that if you are in line with somebody who knows how to deal with things when things may not be perfect, and it doesn't have to be terrible, but if something isn't ideal and how to deal with it and has the ways to deal with it, then I think that you're in better hands.
Sure. So let's talk about the F word, fillers, right? Because I think for so long, like we've been talking about Botox, or at least with my friends, it was like everyone does Botox, but fillers, very different, right?
That is, yeah, they're saved exclusively for the Real Housewives.
Totally.
You know, that's kind of the way that I feel like our generation at least has thought about fillers so far, because there's the bad side of fillers that we've been
exposed
privy
to.
Yeah, for sure.
Absolutely.
So filler. So Botox, we talked about forehead, you know, getting rid of or softening that angry, judgmental face. Let's talk about where fillers are typically administered or what they're kind of meant to solve.
Right. So Fillers are more of a, again, it's a substance, it's a gel-like substance that gets injected to areas where you may have lost some volume. So just like doing Botox early on to make sure that these lines don't form, or at least don't form to the extent that genetics would want you to have them, we start to lose some of the fat pads in our face. They start to shrivel up. They start to descend, meaning they go downwards on the face. They cause us to have these nasolabial folds that are one of the first signs that people point to in terms of aging. The nasolabial fold is that fold that's from your nose down to around your mouth.
Smile lines.
The smile lines. That's a good one. And then when they shrink and they move down, people say that they look more tired because they see that little, what we call a tear trough line in that mm-hmm. area. So filler, what filler would do is replace some of those changes. And again, if you replace it early and you replace it slowly, then you can combat a lot of those earlier changes of aging, which includes the smile lines and things like that. Again, you have to have a healthy perspective on how to do it, and a provider that you share with that is your goal, is to do a little here and there, hopefully in preventing. At some point, aging will catch up. You will have to do a little more and more, but you will avoid kind of the big, I have to fill my entire face and get a facelift. Hopefully that you'll avoid that. But again, when we talk about Real Housewives, it's important that if you are starting early with a little bit here and there, that you're starting with a little bit in the right places. You're starting where you are trying to prevent some mm-hmm. of the sagging and not trying to exaggerate some of your features. Because you can get into a slippery slope if you're starting to exaggerate features early and then you continue and continue and continue.
That's like the puffy duck face that we see, right? It's like, what the fuck is that? Like, you don't, do people want to look that way? Or like, how do they not see it?
There's no distinguish between the eye and then the eyelid, and the cheek is really high and then the lips are huge.
Right.
Do people come in and ask for that?
It is, you know, it is such an interesting mentality when people that come in, and there are people that are addicted to plastic surgery, cosmetic procedures, fillers in particular. And you wonder if that's ultimately what they wanted or if they have gotten accustomed to the way that their face looks and they want to maintain it that way.
Yeah.
To each their own.
Sure.
I say it all the time, and I say it in cosmetics to where if something is bothering somebody, I really think about what I can do to help that, whether or not it bothers me or not. But if it is something that I think that I'm contributing to a problem, then I won't do it.
Okay.
But I will explain and educate to the patient as to why I don't think it's a good idea. And I will say, thank you so much for spending some time with me discussing it. And there may be another person that shares that aesthetic opinion. And I really think that that would be somebody that would fit well with you. Or these are the other changes that I would make that I think that would give you a better outcome. And a lot of time, people appreciate the education.
They're open to,
They don't know, right?
They hear filler and they hear what filler does and they want the result. Mm-hmm. But the way to get there is probably, so let's share my personal story. So I think Botox, duh, I do it. Fillers I was scared about, but I also felt like, and I've obviously shared this with you multiple times, my under eyes are something that really bothers me, right? I have lines. I'm so happy and smiley, right? And they're getting larger. But I also know that you can't really do Botox, like to solve the problem under your eyes, you're not going to try to paralyze the muscles under your eyes.
Right. So if you think about under your eyes, it's a little bit different than between your eyebrows. You don't need the expression to scowl. You definitely need to blink and do other things. So you need that muscle.
For sure. But we also, I was starting to see like the loss of volume, right? Like there was almost like a dark depth to it. And I don't wear a ton of makeup. And when I put makeup on, I felt like it just, I couldn't figure it out. Now we've talked about lasers. I've done microneedling. Like we can go down the line of all the things services staff does. But I feel like the way that you explained to me the small amount of filler and what it could do for that kind of loss of volume, I am obsessed with it. Not in a way that I'm like, oh my God, give me more. But I really feel like that little amount changed the whole dynamic of what my eyes are like.
Right. And think about also from the preventative perspective that you putting it in, and it doesn't solve the problem of having a dark circle completely, but you putting it in is really pausing and halting that area from aging at the pace that it wants to. Now, again, when you talk about dark circles, so this is another one of the main reasons a millennial or younger patient population would come in to see me. It is one of the first signs that people see of aging, but we also have to think about the fact that it is multifactorial, meaning so many different reasons for having dark circles. There's the crepiness of the skin. There's a little bit of that volume loss. And usually it's not that you lost the fat in your eyes. It's that you lost the fat in your cheeks and it's drawing down on the eye area. So the number one thing is not to fill the eye area without making sure that other areas of support are filled properly. And then there's pigmentation in that area. There's blood vascularity that can be seen. So there's a lot of reasons to have dark circles. And going directly for filler in that area necessarily might not be the right approach either.
But she was a consistent client and tried multiple things. No, I think it's amazing because we've talked about this for a long time and you've been thrilled with the results because it doesn't look like she did anything. It makes her feel better. And
yeah, it's a self-confidence thing. I remember even when you took the before and after pictures, I remember looking at her and being like, can you tell? Like, I honestly couldn't really tell, but then I started to just notice that I had to put less makeup on there,
right?
Or like, it was that small change.
So why I love to educate patients, because I want them to be on that journey with me, because I think, speaking of wellness, that that's a healthy journey to be on. I think that there's a lot of social media pressure. I think there's a lot of exposure online to looking drastically different very early and very fast. And I think that people, of course, want these like home run results. But I think that that sometimes exaggerates natural expressions and natural views on your face. And I think that that is not a great outcome either. So I think that it's important when people come in with pictures and I want these, especially when we talk about lips too. Mm-hmm. Like I want these, you know, I hate putting large lips on people, but
I just pictured you taking a crayon and coloring somebody's lips.
Exactly.
Just putting lips on people. But right? It's right. If it's not even meant for their face or they naturally have thin lips, dramatically changing somebody, that's like coming in to work the next day being a brunette when you were a blonde.
Absolutely.
Everybody's going to notice. And maybe they want that, but...
Right. It has to have a conversation. And if they want that, and if it's something that can be achieved, I can't give big lips to somebody whose lips literally cannot handle it.
Yep.
Or will not form that shape. We have that discussion too. But if somebody genuinely wants something and I think that it's a positive change for them in their life, I'm not above doing something like that. As long as we had a conversation, I think the outcome is going to be healthy for everybody.
Do you see a younger generation come in for lips now? It feels like that's the number one place for filler.
I do. I see a lot of young people that come in for lips. And I think that it's my job to keep people in the know of what is available and what is good for the process, right? I'm not above everybody saying, I know it's good for you and you're going to do this. But again, as long as a conversation is healthy, in my opinion, and I don't think that I'm adding to any insecurities or we have, you know, body dysmorphic disorder is a problem in our industry where we see people who are always trying to do something else. And if people are doing it for a nice, healthy reason, and I love to be a part of that. But again, my consultations are a lot of talk and a lot of conversation, a lot of education. And if somebody is just not into that, no offense taken. I appreciate them listening to me at least or sharing that time with me. And there'll be another provider, another injector, another doctor who would have the same idea of what they want to do.
Every time I go in, I see a lot of women there, right?
Yeah.
And I feel like I tell a lot of my guy friends and just any dude who will listen to me, like some of the things that I do. And I think a lot of guys want it or just aren't that informed, but maybe are like, I have droopy eyes or I have 700 wrinkles on my forehead. Do you see more and more men coming in? And like,
absolutely.
Do you want to tell our friends out there listening, if there's any men listening, like it's okay for them
too. Oh, please. I love my male patients. I think, and I don't mean that in an inappropriate, I don't want this podcast to go out there and be like,
you love.
She says there's more than one person in the room at all times. No, I love it because, you know, these procedures are marketed to women. It is an easy thing to market these procedures to women. The exact same rules apply to men, the same aging, although different ways and different processes apply to men. I think that there's more marketing to men, which is nice, so it's not taboo to do it. And I think that there's more friends and family telling guys to do things earlier on as well. But I do think that the idea of these procedures for men is also shifting. We are definitely seeing a lot more men in our practice. And the finesse of doing, especially something like a neuromodulator, like Botox, to men is absolutely different. Men need to emote in different ways than women, and we have that conversation. And I love the influx of even men getting chemical peels or men doing kind of basic maintenance is becoming much more popular.
I think let's reflect on the conversation that's happened amongst our friends. It's become way more common to talk about injectables, and there is no taboo against it. And people talk about it the same way you would talk about who's your favorite yoga instructor. Mm-hmm. As that conversation continues, that will happen for men as well. It's the women probably pushing them and saying it's okay. It's having a couple friends within the group do it. Maybe they won't talk about it and share their favorite doctor recommendations the same way that we do. But I think it's the conversation and it will advance the same way.
So I think it is advancing already. Right. I think men are starting to talk about it amongst themselves. And I get referrals from other men for men.
Yeah.
Because they realize that it doesn't, you know, men have the same Real Housewife idea too, mm-hmm. right? But I think that they realize that there is some sort of preventative nature. There is some sort of healthiness aspect to making sure that you're taking care of your skin. And it's a really good time for me to make sure that guys are putting SPF on their face every day and doing other things. They're realizing that it doesn't have to be like a, I'm going to leave looking different
yeah.
type experience.
Or I'm going to be yep. nervous to be caught in the waiting room.
Correct.
Right?
100%. We talked about our friends already, but a lot of ladies in our group and our friend range are about to be mamas. So what are the rules around injectables when somebody is pregnant, breastfeeding, being a new mom, wants to be a mom? What would you tell any of those women?
It's tough. So again, I have 2 kids under the age of 5. I know what it feels like. We can get personal now because, you know, when you see me in my office, I'm personal. My first experience, you know, I took a pregnancy test and it turned out positive. And I had that moment where I called my husband and I said, oh, it's positive. And I said, I love you. And he said, I love you. And then very quickly out of my mouth was, oh, I didn't plan this. I'm due for my Botox.
Truly, I've heard that
right?
too.
Yep. So like, I was already worn off. Thing. I was 3 or 4 months from my last injection. I could have injected, you know, within a couple of weeks and had at least a first trimester with a shiny forehead. And my husband responded with, that's nice. That's where your mind goes. But I said,
it's your everyday.
You know, it's me. I also commented that the glass of wine that I had the couple nights before was my last and it wasn't too stellar.
Big enough.
But, you know, it's tough because hormones take over. Your skin changes pretty rapidly with different shifts from your hormones. You know, weight gain changes the volume of your face and therefore the feeling of sagginess and other things. And we really do, in this day and age, be very careful about what you use, even topically on your skin and what you, so therefore what you don't inject into your skin. Mm-hmm. So I don't inject a neuromodulator, which is Botox, Dysport-Zeem, and Jeuveau, to pregnant or breastfeeding women. There is some controversy about pumping and dumping because of what actually gets into the breast milk. And I'd be happy to have that conversation with certain people. But again, you know, the focus is on that we can get back to square one after. But it is a time to be extra careful on your SPF. There are a lot of great skincare things to make sure that the collagen elasticity of your face keep up, making sure that you're combating any acne and therefore potential acne scars that may appear during certain stages of pregnancy, and then getting back on track after quickly.
So the lesson learned here is if you're trying, plan ahead. Because otherwise you're going to be sitting there without any filler for a year. Well, any Botox sorts. Honestly, though, a lot of what I see is a lot of friends get really full faces, and then it's after pregnancy, right? That's when there becomes the gauntness that comes because you're losing weight and you haven't had any of your injectables.
Yeah, it's true. And you're off your schedule and the healthy schedule, and you can get back on it. And there's a lot of weight shifts and change that happen after pregnancy. And there's different stages of life, and your injectable plan will change throughout every stage of your life. And as long as you're doing things pretty consistently and not overdoing it, I think that it will follow you naturally.
Love it. So it's a weird question that we don't normally ask, but I want to make sure that there's nothing else in your head. There's so much in your head that we want to know. But is there anything else you think
our friends really need to know as it relates to injectables that we've missed or we haven't touched on today?
I think we touched on a lot of the important things. I think, though, that it is, you may agree to this, I hope you do, it's finding the right person mm-hmm. to be attached to. I think that social pressures, you try many things. You go to Sephora and there's a million things to fix your skin. And a lot of time I tell my patients that to fix your skin is actually to pull back and not try all those things, because then your skin gets stressed out. Then how do you think your skin wants to fight back? Well, it wants to fight back with a rash, or it wants to fight back with more acne or other things, dehydration, things like that. So sometimes I think less is more. And when it comes to skincare, and I think that I don't think necessarily less is more for all patients, but especially when you're talking about starting earlier, just doing it and finding somebody that you trust and go along with and be on that journey with, because it is a process, and not getting pulled a million different directions when someone has a party at their house and somebody's injecting or something like that.
For sure. No, I think you know that I am in love with you, but I will also say there's something really special about, I personally feel like, going to a dermatologist who's, you're looking at my skin holistically, right? Like,
true.
So you know the chemical peel that I did the week before, and you understand my goals, and we are able to just go on that journey. And it's not this like one and done thing where I'm coming in and getting like a vagina wax, right? Like,
no, I think that is really important. So I see a lot of groups of friends, especially female friends, and I think that people compare what they do with me or the times that they come in and see me and things like that.
Of course.
And again, I always say, because I don't tell your friends what you do in my office. Again, let's back to this HIPAA thing and just decency.
That little HIPAA thing.
Just basic decency. But, you know, I know that they're talking about it. And again, I want to make sure that everybody knows, like, you know, your skin is thick, your skin is thin. You have super strong muscles. You have super thin muscles. You have this facial structure from your mom and dad. And of course, you don't have that same facial structure because your mom and dad is different.
Mm-hmm. Right. Different humans.
Bio-individuality.
So, you know, I always say, like, again, obviously no one thinks of it as a competition, but always remember that nothing is the same.
I think that's genius. You're on the edge of all the products that are coming to market. You know everything about skincare. What are the trends that you see coming down the line?
Give us the goods.
In terms of skincare or in terms of injectables?
You
get to choose. Ooh, fun. So with my background, I did a fellowship in cosmetics procedures and did a bunch of research. I went out to Boston to a place called Skincare Physicians. And we have a research department in our office downtown. So we are very privy to a lot of either injectable, new ways to use them, new devices, things like that. That being said, just because something is new doesn't mean that it is amazing.
Fine.
Especially right now, there's so much focus on the non-invasive. They will give you a result with no downtime, but unless you are doing it early and repetitively, that result may not be ideal for you, right? So if you come in with a sagging neck down to your belly button and a non-invasive procedure,
yummy,
is never going
to
cut it.
That's going to be a slow roll.
So what's coming out right now in terms of the neuromodulators, something that Jeuveau just came out, which is a new Botox, we say. Very similar to Botox in a way. Some people are saying that it can have a faster onset. So I hate it when people are like coming on my Thursday clinic and they're like, I have something on Saturday. And I'm like, well,
it takes time.
It takes a little bit of time to kick in. And I am good, but there is potential for a bruise. And so there's also another one that's coming out. It's called Revance. And I'm not sure where in the process it is, and don't quote me, it may not come out. But they were looking and doing some studies on a longer duration of it lasting. And again, it might not be that company. It may be somebody else or something, but there are studies for ones that would last up to about 6 months, which obviously is ideal. So you don't have to come in.
Yeah.
But then again, a lot of people
like the
flexibility to know.
Yeah. Right. Or maybe it's more expensive because it lasts longer or something else. So there are a lot of things and there are a lot of trends and they work for a lot of people and they don't work for anything. I'm trying to think of what other fun, cool things.
You gave us so much fun and cool.
Have stolen all of your knowledge. People ask us constantly. I think they think that we're experts just because we ask a lot of questions. Huge question askers over here because we want to have all the information. You've been amazing at sharing that. And people should know that what it is about finding the right person for them. That's wellness in everybody's answer. And it goes back to injectables too. So I'd say we're thrilled to have you. You did an amazing job.
Ooh, my first podcast.
Yeah.
Yes,
you're, we're going to have
I'm
you
here
back
in this podcast studio.
Yeah, we touched on just injectables, and I like want to talk about lasers and products and all those fun things. So you're going to have to come back. Is that okay?
I love it.
We love you.
And I love it.
I'll probably see you next week. Thank you.
Thank you.
Friends, this has been fun. Thanks for spending some quality time with us. If you need more of us in your life, we totally get it. Follow us on Instagram at Wellbehave Podcast.
Also, we aren't selfish. Tell us what you need and want to learn more about by sending us a note at wellbehavepodcast@gmail.com or slide into our DMs. We prefer that anyway. Until next time, stay well and somewhat behaved.